Show, episode number 417. My name is John Morgan. Cold Coffee is with me here at the awfully windy Casa de Cold Coffee. I was complaining about the cold weather in Vegas. I said, hey, man, I think spring's finally here. I think the cold weather is gone. And to my credit and to Las Vegas weather's credit, the sun is out. It does seem the chill that was not so fun is gone, but it has been replaced with gale force winds out there. It's been like a hurricane the last 2 days.
I'm telling you. But at least it's been warmer, though.
It has been warmer.
Yep. But, yeah, I mean, like, it's been crazy. But it's funny that it was thunderstorms, at least, I think, in some parts today earlier, and it was gray. But now it's, like, beautiful. But, yeah, the wind just coming around.
It's crazy windy.
It's been crazy, crazy weather. So, like, allergies have been gone crazy. But it's getting warmer. Because I notice every morning where I used to, I'd try to go up and try to take a walk. I'm like, I'd look out on the thermometer. And
thermometer.
Like, thermometer. that's what they call it out here in the West. Thermometer. Back in the Midwest, it's a thermometer. It was always like the 40s or low, like 30, getting up to the 40s.
And that's just a little too chilly, though.
Yeah. I'm
sure there's some people.
I like layering up.
Right. Because
then it was cool, because then you're like, when I wear a t-shirt, then my gut shows more. But if you're covering up with, like, layers, you can walk down the street and you're like, yeah, I'm getting my workout in. But you don't look as fat. Today it was like 55 or something like that, 50-something.
Yeah.
So it's like earlier and earlier in the day, we're getting closer to that 60s range. And eventually we're going to start breaking that. But yeah, with this crazy, like, you know, weather front coming through,
that's nuts.
It's been nuts. But and it's crazy because that, until I moved out to Vegas, I know we've talked about this before. Like, it's funny when somebody said, "Oh, it's going to be storming later on." I'm thinking thunderstorms or whatever,
right.
But they're talking about wind storms, and I'm like,
"Yeah,
that's so weird." But it is legit crazy gusts of like 55, 65, 70 miles an hour that anywhere else, I think maybe different structures, if you take that into other cities, other places in the U.S., you're going to have serious, serious damage. But just the way that Vegas is laid out, and maybe with the houses and stuff, the way they're built, you don't hear about as much crazy damage.
Yeah.
What we usually have is when communications lines go down or, you know, like your power go out because the wind goes so hard that it blows over like a generator or something. But
One time when I lived in Ohio, the year that I lived in Dayton, we got hit by a hurricane in Ohio.
That's crazy.
I was like, "That's not possible."
Yeah.
They were like, "Be careful because it's coming in from the Gulf." And they're like, "It's going to hit here."
I remember that.
I was like, "There's no way." And I'm like, laughing. I'm like, "Come on, you guys are being dumb. How can a hurricane get all the way to Ohio?" But it did. Like, it knocked out power for a couple days.
I'm telling you,
it was crazy. But yeah, we're getting there. It's just about. I always say April, and October. So we're almost to April.
Yeah.
If it's still screwed up in April, I'm going to be mad because I look forward to April in life. Yep. Vegas, so
I mean, if you can get here successfully on an airline today, from now on, is a good point to come. Just if you can actually get here.
Oh, dude,
just don't take Air Canada.
I was gonna say, I thought you were making fun of me, man, because I went out to Fight League Atlantic last week in Moncton, Canada. I had a great time, man. I love the crew out there. And it's cool, man. It really reminds me of, like, the old school days of MMA, because it's still kind of in its infancy there. They haven't had a lot of promotions, and they're kind of developing the whole thing. And it's a small town, so everybody's kind of hanging out after the fights and that sort of thing. We actually ended up kind of watching all of us watch the UFC together after our fights were over. And it's fun. But, yeah, Air Canada, I had 5 total flights, right? Because it's not super easy to get to Moncton. And so on the way there, I was supposed to go like LA from Vegas to LA, LA to Toronto, Toronto to Moncton. The whole flight got canceled because the connection was missing. So I had it delayed by like 18 hours, right?
That's one of those ones, if it breaks down, they just don't have that many routes.
That's it. They're like, so we can't. So, but this is great. I get a text message. Hey, by the way, your flight's been canceled, but we've rebooked you. I'm supposed to leave on Thursday night. They send me a message. It's like, we've got you booked on this new flight that'll get you in Saturday night at 8 p.m. I'm like, well, I go on air Saturday at 7 p.m. So that's not going to work. So anyway, we ended up rebooking a different route. But every flight I had, both going there and coming back, got delayed. Every single connection I had, 5 segments.
That's unreal.
Every single one of them was delayed. And that's after the initial cancellation. So, you know, look, I try not to bitch too much about this kind of stuff because, like, look, we're pretty lucky to have the job that we have. We get to cover a sport for a living, and somebody's paying me to come out and call fights, you know what I mean? So I'm trying not to gripe too bad. But when it's 5 out of 5 and they're all delayed, like, come on, Air Canada, where you at?
I mean, that's That's that part, and it seems to be happening more and more. I swear, it's funny, Jose Young, that dude's cursed.
He is cursed.
So every time we go to an event with him, I'm just like, I don't want to travel near that guy at the same time because it's going to break down. But, and I tease about that, but literally, the way that the air system is right now, it's just like you almost have to just plan on it, you know. So, like, trying to make quick connections is a mistake nowadays because you're never going to be able to catch your flight. But
you got to make sure you got plenty of time.
Yeah, so it's like one of those things that I love being able to travel. I love doing it, but it's just not the same. Like, the system is just kind of broke right now, you know. So, but that being said, it is still nice. Once you make it out here, it's getting nicer.
It's getting nice.
This weather will not stay. It will not stay forever.
No, we're going to be good. Do you know what's funny? As you're talking about Jose Youngs, it reminded me back when I was traveling a lot more than I am. Kenny Florian and I had a string of trips. This was back when we were going to Brazil like 7 or 8 times a year, and he was still on the commentary team. And so I think at the time he was living in L.A., so him and I would end up on a lot of flights together because obviously from Vegas you got to connect to somewhere, and I would connect to LAX a lot. And we ended up on like 3 or 4 or 5 consecutive flights where it was delayed every single time. And we were always on the same flight together. And one of them, like we started joking about how, like, you know, hey, man, we can't be on the same plane because obviously it's going to, like, something's going to happen. And then I wish I could remember the story. Dude, we were on a flight and somebody died. We had to,
good God.
Yeah, we were flying to Australia. Now I remember, that's right. We were flying to Australia from LAX and we were, like, had to circle back. We were past Hawaii. We had to circle back and land to get a dude off the plane that was having a heart attack.
Wow.
Oh, man. Yeah, crazy. That's funny. Funny how those memories come back to you. Talking about Jose Young is being cursed. Me and Kenny Florian were cursed for a while. I haven't seen that guy in a while, man. It'd be good to catch up with him. I'm almost back to 100%, so if I do cough once or twice, I apologize. Every now and then, if I breathe a little too deep, I still got a little bit left. But, dude,
did you make it through the broadcast okay?
I did, but I was nonstop, pounding water and cough drops and that sort of thing. And
I wish I could say I watched, but, you know, that whole pay-per-view
thing. Right now, Fight League Atlantic is pay-per-view. You know, we're looking at options. We're looking at things. They're very early in their, broadcasting existence. So we're talking about some things and seeing what we could do so that more people can be exposed to the Fight League Atlantic product.
I mean, it's kind of one of those, you know, you got to take the benefits, you know, even if it's just – how about just doing it for a little bit, build up the fan base, and then throw it at them?
Right.
But I guess I could see where some people are like, now you've gone big. Now you've gone big, and now you've gone pay-per-view.
So, once you give away the product, right, then it's kind of hard to start asking money for it. So we'll see. Well, I've got good news for you, Cole Coffey.
What's that?
You can watch me work this weekend for free. Empire MMA 4, I'm actually heading to Colombia, Bogota, tonight. I'm heading out tonight.
Nice knowing you. Nice knowing you, John. You got your affairs in order?
I've never been to Colombia. I hear that it's relatively safe, although I did see, like, last week somebody got robbed at gunpoint, like a boxing trainer got robbed at gunpoint. I saw a headline in Colombia, and that kind of gave me some pause. So might be doing a lot of, frosty beverages at the hotel bar or something like that, hang out.
I would say 100% stay at your hotel.
All right. Just hang outside. So it'll be my first time. I've been to Brazil. I did 29 trips to Brazil, but I believe – unless I'm forgetting a random one that I don't remember, this is my first trip to South America that wasn't to Brazil. So head to Miami tonight and then connect to Miami, and then I'll be there tomorrow morning. Myself and noted Twitter personality Ben the Bane Davis will be on the call together.
Oh,
and it'll
cool.
be on YouTube. It'll be actually on the MMA Underground YouTube channel, of course, on the site as well. So it will stream for free. I believe the prelims go live at 6 p.m. Central on Saturday night. That'll be a handful of amateur fights. And then we go pro at 7 p.m. Central for the rest of the night. And it'll all be free on YouTube. So if you want to check that out, do that. And got a production meeting this Friday because CFSC is back next week on UFC Fight Pass. We got back-to-back events in Philadelphia. So,
look at that.
Staying busy, baby. Staying on the mic.
That's funny. I was teasing you. I was like, all those years, you're always on the road, and then you're like, man, I'm glad to be home. Glad to be home. And you're gone more now than you've ever been.
I will say, you're right. I'm traveling as much as ever. But it's the thing that I like about doing the commentary traveling is it's shorter trips, right? Because instead of having to, like, go out
cover
on
the whole week.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't have to get there for a media day and a press conference.
You can't afford your beer tab. They're like, we're going to have to set up another show to pay for John's
book.
Could
you just
maybe
fly in right before the fight, if you don't mind? Like off
morning,
the plane and
morning
straight
of?
There because we really can't afford the bar tab anymore. We had a good time. We'll keep things going. Miami, you're doing Miami, right? Are you going out on Tuesday?
Yes, Tuesday.
During the day?
Tuesday, like crack of dawn. Like I'm doing Southwest.
Okay, so we're not
like
on the
a
same flight.
6 a.m. Southwest. That gets me there at like, I think, 4 o'clock, 4:30,
okay,
something like that.
All right. I'm actually going early too, man. I will say this as of because that is for UFC 287, of course. Still traveling for domestic pay-per-views, so I'll still be out there covering
still
that.
Covering some UFC.
A little bit of UFC here and there. A little bit of UFC. You know, I sprinkle it in. Just sprinkle in a little UFC. Looking forward to that. But no, I'm actually going out on Tuesday as well. You know, when I was younger, man, I'd take those red eyes and, you know, land on, like, the morning of media day at, like, 8 a.m. or something and just go straight to media day. But I'm not going to lie. I can't do that anymore, man.
It's hard.
Yeah. I think I have to admit I'm not the young sprite 25-year-old
yeah,
John Morgan.
Especially if you take the first morning, especially for me that I have to check a bag or something. I'm getting up hours and hours before that just to get to the airport like 2 hours before. So if I'm getting to the airport at like 4 a.m, that means I'm getting up at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
I'm an absolute death by the time I get there. I'm gonna be completely useless. And just no fun. Even less fun.
Even
than
less.
Even less fun than I am now.
Because it's usually so fun to be around.
So
all
fun
road.
Around fight week. It's fight week, Kenny. It's so funny.
Oh man! All right, UFC 286 was this past weekend. Did get to watch it afterwards. It was fun. It was actually kind of cool. I had it pulled up on my phone during the fight, so we were kind of eyeballing the fights a little bit while we were watching the fights. But then we went back to the hotel afterwards and watched it. Haven't talked to you since, man. I mean. It felt like in the immediate aftermath there were some people that had some problems with the scoring. I feel like as the week has rolled on, I've heard less and less complaints yeah. about it being a bad score.
I didn't have any problems.
No, I felt like a draw could be in play. Like I wouldn't have hated the draw with the point deduction. Because of the point deduction, which I can't complain about the point deduction. But overall, I did score it for Leon Edwards. And this is the thing I said on the NF episode that night, is that if it was pride scoring, obviously it's not. But if it was pride scoring where you were just – judge the fight as a whole, tell me who won the fight. It feels like Leon Edwards was the guy that won the fight. Yeah. They just did more damage there. So overall, no issues with it?
No, because, I mean, I was leaning towards Leon anyways. I thought he was just sharper, crisper, even though there might have been times where maybe the strike count didn't show that. But judges and refs don't see that anyways. But by the time when I was watching the rounds, I was like, yeah, no. I mean, I had no problem. I mean, I think even if you gave it 2-2 going into that last round, I mean, he did better going in the last round. So, I mean, I had no problem with it.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it was maybe even in the fourth round or something like that, I even wrote into our Slack channel, I was like, and still. And somebody was like, well, wouldn't that be something? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, are you guys not watching the same thing that I'm watching?
Wow.
I was like, I thought it was pretty clearly that the momentum and that unless Kamaru came up with something crazy, I was like, I don't see him getting it, you know, because he just didn't seem like the same Kamaru. Like,
I agree.
You know, when we start hearing things like, you know, that maybe he was carrying an injury through training and he wasn't able to do whatever, all that sort of makes sense because it looked like he wasn't fighting 100% even that night.
Yep.
His takedowns, you know, the attempts were usually at a point where he was not doing well. They were rushed. He didn't set up any of them. They were poorly timed sometimes. Like, it didn't seem like his normal self. So it just felt like, I don't know what, which makes sense that there was maybe an issue in training, because I felt like maybe he wasn't going 100% in training because he just looked out of sorts,
right.
You know, and that could be partially about being in enemy territory the whole week. You know, you have this guy that's, every time you try to get in his head, it's not working, you know. So maybe he didn't have the same sort of swagger going into fight night, even though he was saying all the right things and he was playing the role perfectly throughout the week. But, you know, this is a guy that credits himself an actor now as well, you know. I did finally see him in Wakanda Forever.
Yeah?
I almost forgot that he was in there.
I haven't seen it, but he had, like, a speaking part, right? Like, it wasn't just, like
– like, a line or two, maybe.
Still, yeah.
Like, when they walk into, like, the big chamber where the queen is there and they're talking about stuff, he has a line where one of the guys was like our people – this sort of happened because these guys weren't doing their job. Oh, you got – and then in the sense that Kamaru's defending the people, like, you think we ain't doing our shit? You know, blah, blah, blah. And that was about the extent
of
his line. But you would see him show up in other parts of
it.
But it was just whenever they get these group gatherings, you know, like Wakanda, like the different forces, even though, like, the Black Panther was, like, the head bad honcho, there's multiple groups, clans, if you will.
Right.
Kamaru was, like, head of one of those. Or at least – the guy that was at the front of that of one of those clans.
Good for him.
Yeah, so
that's cool.
It was dope, man. And he, I mean, you look at Kamaru's body.
He looked the part.
He looked the part.
Yeah,
100%. But going back to this week, I mean, like, this is a guy that I think he believed that he was prepped for it, and that he didn't think he thought he was going to see the same Leon that we saw
right
when they fought before, and it was not the same Leon. This was a more confident, if anything, just working on being able to shut down those takedowns. The fact that Kamaru never had any real good luck with that, and then the time that he almost did, he did the fence grab. You know, like, if there was ever a time to cheat, that was a perfect time, because that would have actually given some really good location for Kamaru to do some damage. But you know, he just never got established. I felt like Leon did a good job of shutting it down.
100%. You talk about the psychological and the confidence. And I was saying, like, I didn't catch the moment live when, I guess, you know, Usman came over and Leon did the, like, headshot thing at him during the face-off. I didn't catch that live. But what I did, like, was at the start of round two when Usman came, like, fast to start the round, and Leon was, like, hands down. I was like, no, make him back up and go back to the center of the – I thought that was – you know what I mean? Like, he could have just been like, all right, shit, he's here. I better keep my hands up and defend myself. And he's like, no, that's wrong. Back him up over there. I was like, oh, that's a little
– I didn't catch that part.
Oh, that was a little confidence.
I didn't see the other part. But I mean, it was the same thing, because even the fight before that happened, the last time they fought, Kamaru walked over and got in his face. He just didn't do it. But this time he's like, you know – you know, I got your number this time.
So, all right. So, let's talk about the two things. Because, number one, I was a bit surprised. After the result, I was a little bit surprised that Usman kind of got on the mic and was like, yeah, man, I won't be out long. You know, I like to stay busy. I'm going to take a fight soon. I honestly thought, not that he would necessarily retire, but I could see him just going like, what do I have left to accomplish? Yeah. Like, there's nothing for me to do. And I do wonder, I mean, as I look at the list of the top rankings, like, I'm not saying there aren't fights that don't make sense. I mean there are fights. I mean, there's, you know, you, if for some reason, I don't know, maybe you want to do a Burns rematch, or if some, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's names you can put together, but there's no fight that I look at and be like, that's the fight I got to see right now.
Yep.
Maybe him and Bilal for a number one contender fight, depending on, we'll get to that in a minute, on everything else that plays out. Maybe that would be the most sense, as like a number one contender fight, but other than that,
that would be good for Bilal to finally get something like that if he can't get the actual title shot. I mean,
well, and let's just make sense. So I guess we can just tie it all together rather than trying to segment it.
But I will say, on that last little point, I had actually put that on our channel when the things, you know, when the fight was ending. I said, I forget how I phrased it, but I said that Kamaru was going to retire.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to retire there, but I was like, because what else do you have to do? You want to really work your way back up to a shot to guy that now just beat you twice in a row.
Nope.
And then you hear in post that Leon's like, that chapter's done.
Right.
That means Kamaru's really got to do his thing. But, I mean, this is also Leon that thinks he actually has a say in the fact of who he's going to be fighting next. I mean, I appreciate what he's trying to do. That just means Dana's going to have to – they're going to have to pony up some money. Or it's going to get to the fact that he's got to realize if he doesn't take that fight, they're just going to make an interim fight. They're going to come up with some reason to give an interim fight. They want that fight to happen. And if the UFC wants it to happen enough, you would think they would just say, okay, here, this is the amount of money. Give me some money and get it. He's already got his champion contract, so it's not like the money's going to change anything. The UFC – want this fight to happen, so I could see where at some point we're like, well, you're under contract. This is the fight I'm offering you right now. If you don't want to fight it, okay, I'm going to offer it to you again in 6 months' time. And then once you get to that point, if you don't take it then, we're going to make an interim title because you haven't defended the belt in X amount of time. So they're going to force his hand eventually to have to take that fight. It sucks. But going back to just Kamaru, I just assumed – it's done, because there's no reason to try to go back through this thing. He has nothing left to prove. It's just about trying to get some paychecks, and he could get that elsewhere. But honestly, I was thinking that he's just going to hang up his gloves. He's just going to work on acting. You know,
he always talks about he hates being away from his daughter, and I do wonder if maybe he gets home, you know, takes a look at his finances and goes, you know, we could probably make this work the way it is. I kind of just want to be at home right now, so we'll see. I just don't think there's any fights that just jump out at me. All right. Here's what I really, really hate about the history between me and Colby Covington. Is that anything I say, I'm sure somebody is going to be like, well, that's just because he said this. It's not. But I just don't believe you can make a case that he's the most deserving contender right now. And I don't understand why there's a hesitation. I mean, why does Bilal Muhammad have to go fight Shavkat Rakhmonov? I don't get that at all. I mean, I do. To me, Bilal Muhammad is the number one contender and should get the next title shot. Now, I do say that if Jorge Masvidal were to find a way to beat Gilbert Burns at UFC 287, a tall order given their stylistic matchup, but if he were to find a way to do it, I would completely understand why Jorge Masvidal would get that fight, even though he's not the most deserving contender. There's a really compelling storyline. It's a fight the champ wants. I totally understand, but I don't get why Colby Covington, why they seem just hell bent on giving him the next shot.
He's lost two out of his last four fights. One of those being the guy that we're talking about, George. If Jorge can, I always want to call him George because that's what he fucking started as.
I know.
If Jorge can win it, yeah, I can see it. But, I mean, the dude's won two out of his last four fights, and that's going back to 2019. I mean, he beat Masvidal in 2022, then lost to Kamaru in 2021, beat Woodley in 20, fought, lost to Kamaru. Dude's fought five times in the last 3 years, 4 years. It's ridiculous. I mean, like, there's no reason for it. I mean, I get it. I'm not mad at it because, I mean, I'm looking forward to the shit talking or whatever. But, yeah, right. I feel bad for the guys that have been doing their shit and actually been sticking around and doing whatever. But, I mean, I don't know. Call me a hater. Tell me to do 10 push-ups, whatever.
I know.
But I agree with you. It's just crazy.
I wish there wasn't any kind of personal involvement between me and Colby because then I could make the case and not feel worried that people are going to say that I'm putting my personal feelings into it.
Well, he's just going to hate you on anyway.
Like, I know.
He's literally attacking anybody and everybody these days. His attack on, like, Anik the other day was so radical.
What is that
so
even?
Crazy.
And, dude, and I'm sorry. Hey, we've talked about it. Race, religion, family. Dude. Don't leave your kid. Like, maybe you think that's a funny line that don't leave your kids without a father or whatever. Maybe you think that's funny. That shit ain't funny.
No.
That's not funny.
I mean, eventually he's going to say the wrong thing and somebody's going to, you know, eventually somebody's going to call him on it. And it's either going to be something physical or it's going to be something, you know. All it's going to do is just – it just takes one day to piss off a dude that has lots of guns and weapons. And then are people going to be sad if Colby's taken out because of shit that he says? Probably not. You know, there was a point where I think a lot of people would be sad. Nowadays, I don't know. It's just crazy because I'm just like, Colby, I get it if it's just a stick and it's just whatever. But, I mean, like, dude, you're the more evil and the more bad that he keeps pushing out there, it's just going to come back on you at some point in some bad form. And I'm definitely not – I'm not saying hate crazy people with guns. I mean, who knows people that own guns? Like, nobody here owns any guns.
Don't come rolling by the Costa de Cold Coffee. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying, man. It's just crazy because I thought it was really funny, too, seeing all the fighters and everybody come out of the woodworks. Like, Anik's like a treasure for these people. Like, people take their positions and the people that they like really, really, you know – hard. Like, now you're going at a guy that a lot of people like, mm-hmm. you know, and now you got fighters who are like, dude, if you come say some shit, I'll be there or whatever. You know, I mean, it's just nuts. But I don't get what he hopes to get out of attacking, like, just a commentator. Like, have you fallen that far that now it's just a matter of that's like what, like, Connor just attacking and lashing at everybody. And it's just like, now you get why half the people in Iron a lot of time don't seem to really like him anymore because of his actions. I think there was a point in time when everybody in America loved Colby. Now there's a certain large group of people that don't give two shits about him because everything that comes out of his mouth is so erratic and crazy. You know?
I think there's a fine line in – because what do we always say, right? The fighter's worst enemy is apathy, right? You want people to care about you one way or the other, even if it's they hate you, like Floyd Mayweather. How many people bought pay-per-views because they're like, I want to see Floyd lose. I want to see Floyd lose, right?
Yeah.
They're still buying it. But what you just said, I think it's starting to get so much that you just go, I don't care what he has to say anymore. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's one thing if somebody gets you riled up and they get you fired up and they're so clever about doing stuff that it just like, they really, I want to see somebody kick his ass so
he
bad.
It was really, the stick was really clever at first.
Yeah.
Like what happened with Anik, that wasn't clever at all. Like, I love some of the shit up that he used to do with, like, the Trump stuff. Like, the setting, like, he would set the whole room up. He'd set the scene. He'd have the red phone. He'd have the posters and the pictures on the background.
Got his MAGA hat
on. Like, I love it. I love it. Like, he was fucking fantastic at that. And then now just some of these other ones are just more, like, erratic. And it's like I almost wonder, like, if it hurt more. Like, I feel like it's more personal and these hurt more because he didn't take the time to set the scene and make it look as good as it could be.
Right.
That it was more just, like, out of a passion, like, just, whatever.
Yep.
But I don't know. I mean, nobody could ever say anything about him as a fighter. He's an incredible, phenomenal fighter.
Wrestling, cardio, like, and it's just tough stylistic matchup for anybody.
I give him better chances against most of the guys at the top of the division. He's going to beat most of the guys. But it's just the
he's
stuff.
Got a real good chance against Leon. Real good chance against Leon.
I would not count him out. I know when it comes down to the strike, and it's just a matter of if Leon can do what he did to Kamaru and not give him a chance to get the takedowns
right.
and get his hands on him, then yeah, I think he could piece him up. But Kobe's got a good chin. I mean, he could take a punch, and he's got some decent power too. So yeah, I mean, if I had to pick that right now, I think, you know, as weird as it might sound, I think I probably will lean Colby on that one.
I'd pick Colby.
Yeah, and it's just – it is what it is. It's just some of the stuff off to the side. Maybe I'm just taking a person because I'm tired of every time they attack at you, then now I'm getting mad. I'm just like, God damn it, just stop it already. But it's just crazy because I remember when we would have great conversations with him, and he's a genuine nice guy. Now it's just every time he gets on there, a lot of times the stick turns on, and then it's just my ears turn off, you know. And it's unfortunate because I like the things I like a lot of the things that come out of his mouth, but sometimes just like, oh, man, really?
I thought the latest rant was a bit much, man. It's just like, come on, man. I thought it missed the mark, man. And again, I don't know. Start talking about that you're going to kill somebody, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's not.
And that sucks because I like the dude. I don't know if he. It's weird for me to say. I don't know if he's at a rough spot right now, and that's why he's acting erratic or whatever, but it seems like that's been, like, the last year or two. Like, shit's been weird or whatever, maybe the last 3 years or something. But I don't know. My life's a bit of a shitstorm. How can I quote on somebody else's shitstorm of a life? But whatever. But it's crazy that you're able to jump the line because I feel bad for Bilal. I mean, Bilal – I would like to see Bilal and Colby fight because I think that would be a lot of fun and a lot of questions right there. But, you know, if you ask me again who I'm going to pick in that fight, I'm probably going to lean on Colby on that one as well.
I agree.
But I think that's the fight that
– See, that fight would make all the sense in the world. That fight, to me, makes a lot more sense than –
That's a pure number one contender.
Like, why does Bilal have to fight Shavkat? Like, he just fought Brady. Like, why, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a bad matchup. Like – Anybody getting thrown Shavkat is bad. Like if Shavkat fought Leon like right now, without a doubt, I know who I'm picking.
Absolutely, I think he'd be the betting favorite.
So why the F are they trying to just knock? It's almost like they're just mad at like he didn't do anything wrong. Why are you going to put him up against that? You know, that's just crazy.
And the other thing with Bilal is you got the history there too. You know what I mean? Whereas we say, okay, we get why Masvidal could leap ahead because he's got the history. Bilal's got the history too. You know, with the whole no contest thing and the eye. I mean, there's something there. So. I don't know, man. This one leaves me scratching. Most of the times when the UFC makes a decision, I go, all right, I know you don't like it, but let me explain to you why they're doing it. Or let me explain to you why I think that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here, I'm just like, what?
What do you think about all the little rumors and stories off to the side of is he doing it because they're dropping
to drop the lawsuit?
To drop charges and drop lawsuit or whatever?
I haven't followed up on that legally to see if that's the case, but if so, I'll be honest with you. That would make a shitload of sense.
It would make so much sense.
If that's the reason, then I'm like, well, cool. Well played,
good
UFC.
Job.
Good job. Like, this is dirty. We need it to go away.
And good on Colby, too. I mean, like, it was kind of just a weird, bad spot, you know. Like, one, George was in the wrong to do what he did. On the flip side, Colby was egging him on, like, anytime, anywhere. Unfortunately, it happened, but it happened in a shitty way. Like, you don't jump somebody. You don't whatever. Like, that's just shitty. You guys could literally have gotten paid to fight.
Yep.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. You did get paid.
I mean,
you could have done it again. You could have did it again for even more money. It didn't make any sense. But for that to sort of go away and by him, if it did happen, agree to drop those charges to get possibly one of the biggest paydays of his career and to possibly get your hands on the belt makes so much sense. I mean – Shoot, if there was ever a golden lining to get jumped on the street knowing that it could possibly lead into you getting a potential title shot, I'm not saying that people would sign up for that sort of thing.
Right.
But, I mean, it certainly would be a nice silver lining to a bad situation, but I wouldn't be mad if that was the case. I mean, of course, I'd feel bad for Leon because he wants to feel like you earned that title. You earned the chance to kind of have a say in your career. But unfortunately, I mean, it's so funny because this is the you know, in looking at Dana, this is the guy that says, oh, we don't matchmake on fight night. We don't whatever. And it's like, well, this seemed like it was already in the works. You brought the guy in there to weigh in, to be a backup for the fight. Like, you already had this in the works, like, for who knows how long. And supposedly, I think Bond had said on, like, the Spinning Black Click that Edwards' camp knew going into that week that Colby was coming out. So, like, this had been known for weeks or whatever. So, regardless that Colby said, oh, I got the call, and then the next day I'm on the plane.
There's no way that's true.
That wasn't the situation.
Definitely,
you know?
Not true.
But it's just, it is what it is.
And here's another thing, too, that that I would point out to some people. Because I saw a lot of people trying to put a timeline together, right, where guys were like, I didn't know. Your manager might know and decide not to tell you as a fighter because it's just like,
that's true.
I don't need to distract you. Like, I need you to focus. Like, I need my client to focus on. I'll tell him. You know what I mean? Like, and
because we've heard when family issues, mm-hmm. when somebody's like I feel like we had that happen recently where there was not maybe a death or maybe it was a death and they didn't tell the fighter till the end or it was something along those lines. I feel like we had something like that happen recently because they understood, you know, like what it's going to do. Like if you want to give them the best possible chance, him or her to fight their best, is this the kind of situation you hold back? I mean, hopefully you would think that they had that conversation with the family and they made they made a group choice to decide instead of like, my manager took my phone earlier in the week and it was so weird. I normally talk to my family this week, but I mean, you're right. I guess I didn't really think about that. So, yeah, I mean, the word could have been passed down, you know, quite some time, but looking at that team and that camp, I would think that Liam was fully aware that of what was going on that fight week because nobody seemed surprised when it was coming. It wasn't like they were like, "Oh wait, Colby's here this week. That's weird. Why is he here?" You know, that wasn't the case. So, but it's just, man, what a crazy, crazy situation. You just
I was trying to search for court records to see if by chance I can't find any right now. I need to dig deeper. I was trying to check some of the court filings to see if I could see if maybe a case had been dismissed.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, depending on how the case, I know in some situations, say if Colby went and wanted to press charges and they're like, okay, well, we're going to open up this and we're going to press charges because you as a plaintiff or you as whatever are filing charges. It's another if a lot of times, say, the police hear about an altercation, they make their own investigation, they reach out with the party and they say, okay, this happened. Okay, well, we're going to press charges that this happened. At some point, it might be out of Colby's hands to even stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be then the state's
the
like, okay, but if your primary witness says I'm not going to testify,
then they don't have much.
Then they don't have a case. Yep. They're going to drop it anyway. So they still have some sort of leverage. So if that is the situation, I mean, and this is what came out, but who knows? I mean, it's a great conspiracy theory. You know, it's a great whatever. I mean,
if it is what happened, it totally makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And, I mean, I ain't hating on it, you know. Again, you know, you feel bad for the guys that are kind of getting jumped over. But, you know, am I going to tune into that fight and be absolutely stoked to watch it? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
I will.
I mean, like, Colby and Leon, it's going to be a fun, fun fight. I mean, when people saw him against Usman, everybody's like, okay, their styles match up, you know. And then it turned out to be a great striking match as well, you know. So, maybe this is one of those ones where we're going to be surprised at how Colby's striking has advanced itself. You know, both of them
he's had time to make real improvements, right?
Right?
I mean, he hasn't been staying busy in terms of competition, but you know he's still training. He's always training.
Yep.
So maybe he's made some leaps and bounds.
Leon's got good cardio, but it's not on the level where Colby is. I mean, granted, Colby's fought, you know, he fights once a year or whatever, but you know, he's staying busy with all the ladies, you know.
Extra cardio in the bedroom, though.
You virgins wouldn't understand what I'm talking about here, but the man stays busy, so his cardio's on point.
See, that's the dorky stuff that I can deal with. Like,
I love that
stuff
shit.
Cracks me up. Like, it's so dumb and cheesy that it cracks
me up. Every
time
he gets on there, like a video with like him with the girls, I just fucking love it.
It's hilarious. It's just trolling, and that stuff makes me laugh.
Fun. It's fun.
I'm going to kill you, John Edding, and your kids aren't going to have a father.
Not quite as fun.
Not funny.
Not fun.
Not funny. All right.
You sound like a nerd and virgin over there, sir.
All right, listen. The good thing about this weekend is I'm going to Columbia. The bad thing is that means I'm not going to my home state of Texas where the UFC is, San Antonio. Done some cool events at the AT&T Center over the years, both UFC and some WEC cards back in the day as well. San Antonio is actually a pretty cool city to go hang out in. But a big, big bantamweight fight. Marlon Chito Vera and Corey Sandhagen in the main event. I love this fight. It is absolutely going to be, I think, off the charts fun. I mean, these dudes are tough. I think, Corey Sandhagen usually a bit of a quicker starter than Marlon Vera is, so I think those opening 5 minutes are going to be a little bit tense for Chito. But, you know, both of these guys are creative. They're exciting. They're fun. I think this is a phenomenal main event, and I'm excited for it. I will say, I think both these guys are viewing this as a little bit of a number one contender fight, and I just still feel like Merab Dvalishvili is in the driver's seat right now. And you know, obviously, some of that's going to have to do with what happens with Aljamain Sterling and Henry Cejudo and what he does. But, I you know, we've talked about it a little bit, but I really am of the opinion that Aljamain's going to go to 45. So I think he's going to, you know, he's talked about it, and I've never heard him say anything different than the fact that he wants his brother, Merab Dvalishvili, to fight for the title. And so he's willing to step out of the way to let him do it. So to me, as much as I love this fight, I don't think it's a number one contender fight, because I do think Merab's going to fight for the title next. Maybe it could be against the winner of this fight, but I kind of tend to believe, because I honestly believe if Aljamain beats Cejudo, he's going to 45. As we talked about before, if Cejudo wins, he's going to 45 because he wants to be a three-division champion.
Yep.
So I think it's going to be, if I had to guess, Merab and Sean O'Malley next for the title, and I feel like this is to be like right behind that.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, they definitely want to stick to their guns, you know, and it even was brought up, somebody brought it up to Sandhagen about how the way that Merab and Aljo are sort of not wanting to fight each other, and he's like, it's kind of admirable. He's like, I like the way that they're carrying themselves.
Cool.
He's like, we'll see what happens if it actually comes down and they say, well, sorry, guys, this is what's going to happen, but he actually enjoyed it, and I thought it was pretty refreshing to see here another fighter kind of give them props for doing that sort of thing.
That is cool. I didn't see that yet. That's good to hear.
I guess it's one thing to say that, you know, if you're not in the situation, but, you know, because, I mean, in this business, we've seen so many times where, you know, friends eventually have to fight each other and things change. And one of the things that he was saying, he's like, you know, some things are more important than just a title. You know, I guess that's kind of easy to say in theory, but when you start looking at life-changing monies and things of that sort, you know, it's one thing to stay true to a friendship, knowing that, you know, you literally could be changing your whole family structure.
It's easier if you're the champion that's already got some money in the bank
to
say that I will not fight my friend. It's just not worth it to me.
Yeah.
Then if you're that number one contender that hasn't quite gotten those pay-per-view points yet, hasn't quite gotten those million-dollar paychecks yet, and then you say, well, we're friends, but wouldn't my friend want to give me that financial opportunity to help me out? So I think this only becomes an issue if Aljamain doesn't move up. Now, again, he's still got to beat Cejudo first, which that's no easy task. That's a phenomenal fight. Can't wait for that one. Stylistically.
Yeah, because he could easily lose. Say Henry doesn't go up. He could easily say, "All right, I'm gonna sit back. I'm gonna let my boy take a shot, and they can stay in the same division. And then they just have to deal with the question if one of them is able to finally get the belt back. And then that decision of who has to leave the division, that'll come back up. So it might not be all just bad news if he does lose and it doesn't decide to go up. But at some point, he's gonna need to either step back because they're gonna say, "Well, all right, well, you were just the champ. Now we got to." Wait, I can't give you number 10 to fight for your next one.
Right.
You know, you got to fight the guys that are right there fighting for the contention, or why are we going to keep you as the number one contender or close to that top? But I would think that he would try at least to step back. And I think if anything else, I mean, that would be one of the cool things that you'd hope you would see more happen in the division is that friendships actually stay friendship.
I know.
And stay very friendly, you know, like supporting each other, you know, because that's the stuff that I think can mean just as much too. I mean, like, yes, it'd be really, really cool if someday they could say, oh man, remember Aljo had the belt for a while and then Rob had the belt, two best friends that were two of the best fighters ever. But even if one of them doesn't get the belt, you know, people could still say, man, two of the best friends that fought at the top of the division. And it's a kind of cool story as well. Instead of to hear like, oh man, they were two best friends, then eventually money got in the way.
Happens all the time.
And they never talk to each other.
In all walks of life, it happens, man. Yeah. And it is true. I mean, again, if you're poor, it's easy to say, you know, I mean, if you're rich, it's easy to say that money doesn't matter. If you're poor, it's kind of hard to say that money doesn't matter. But there are things that matter more than money, and friendships and relationships like that are a big part of it, you know.
And it's kind of cool to just see that in sports at a professional level as well, to understand that the stuff that makes sense at when you're kids growing up, the stuff that you learn to treat your friends right, you know, your friends are always going to be there. To know that can, you know, possibly play a role in your professional life as well. It's kind of like one of those things that you hope exists, you know, that shows you that they're still good in the world. You know, it's not all just money and dog eat dog, you know, like there's still a point where you should be happy for your friend and, you know, and try to help bring your friend up. But so I hope it works out, man, because I love hearing these stories of fight camps and these fighters that, you know, go through thick and thin, and these friendships that are bonded together. You know, it's awesome. I mean, part of it too, I mean, yes, it's always great to see these guys get in there and beat the crap out of each other, but it's also cool when they're not fighting to see fun stories when they're actually hanging out and enjoying each other, because then you get to see a different angle. You know, like, I don't need to see you guys fighting all the time. You know, it's cool to kind of see just like doing real people stuff, you know, and just enjoying stuff. So I hope it works out. I hope it works out.
I do too. Like, I think we're not yet to, because I've seen a lot of people kind of like,
it's getting close.
We got to let that happen. After May, that's when we start finding out, where is there a problem here? Right now, I don't feel there's a problem.
Yeah.
It's worth monitoring, but it's one of those ones.
It can still work itself out.
That's right. You don't have to worry about it just yet. I think we're okay, but we'll see what happens after May. So, big main event. Co-main event, Holly Holm, I think 41 now, just looking shredded, which is absolutely insane.
But when hasn't she?
I know. It's just amazing the athlete that she is, against Yana Santos, no longer Yana Kuniskaya. She has made the name change there. So that one's a big one at women's bantamweight. I think, you know, the one that you and I are probably most excited about on the main card, Nate the Train, baby! Nate Landwehr is in there against Austin Lingo, who, Austin Lingo, by the way, I'll just throw this out there, I think is like my dad's favorite fighter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he met him in Dallas, so now now he's like all under his career.
I was like, why? That's funny.
He lives in Dallas, and he met him, and I guess they had
he's a Fortis boy.
Yeah, so I guess they talked, and they said, you know, and it's like, you know, hey, do you know my son? Oh, yeah, I know your son, et cetera, et cetera. So they kind of bonded a little bit. But that's, it was awesome, funny, because, you know, he lost his fight 2 weeks ago when his opponent had a medical issue. And it was like, my dad's like, oh, I was bummed for Austin Lingo. I was like, yeah, I forgot you're a huge Austin Lingo fan. I'm like, yeah, don't worry. They're going to get him rebooked. He's going to be back. But he's got a tough one on his hand. And Nate the Train, baby. He's a lot of fun to watch. Andrea Lee versus Macy Barber.
That should be fun.
That's a really good fight. I'm really excited about that one. The flyweight division, obviously now everything seems fresh. I used to say that all the time, that I had a hard time getting excited for women's flyweight fights, just because I'm like, yeah, but are you going to beat Valentina? So what are we really working towards? But now it's like, oh, I got a little something in there. Yeah. And then I'm a flyweight junkie. But Alex Perez versus Menelik Kot, that should be a phenomenal fight as well.
Yeah.
Meaningful in the division as well, so I'm super excited for that. And then the main card kicks off with Chidi Njikwani versus Albert Duraev. And then down on the prelims, you got some. I think you got some fun fights. You got some things that could be entertaining. Nothing really in terms of ratings or rankings impact or anything that. I mean, anytime Daniel Pineda gets in there, he's going to have some fun against Tucker Lutz. I mean, there's some names on here. So overall, you know, this is just that kind of thing that happens, right? You have a big pay-per-view, and you got titles, and you got divisions moving, and you got all that. And then you get to the fight week the next week, and you're like, this doesn't have quite the names on it. But I will say, just on paper, I think the main card is pretty damn solid. I think it's getting hated on a little bit more than necessary. I think if you really look at the matchups, there's some fun ones, some meaningful ones. I think there's going to be some fun fights.
I mean, they just, like, people, this is not a pay-per-view card.
This is not a pay-per-view card.
You know, like, we just had a great card. You know, the main and co-main for the last event was just absolutely sick and just stupidly good.
Yep.
It's not going to be like that every time. And this – I think the main event on this is absolutely fucking awesome.
Yep.
Vera and Sandhagen, it's an incredible fight. I mean, it's carrying the whole card.
Take out what it means in terms of division. Don't even just those two guys going against each other. Gonna be a fight.
It's gonna be incredible. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, top to bottom, is it all crazy great names? No, but I mean, it's gonna be a lot of fun. I mean, I'm excited to see Haley Cohen.
All hail.
Yeah. She's so hot. But no, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, CJ Vergara, like, Daniel Da Silva is going to be good fight one. Who's one that? Steven Peterson, Lucas Alexander. That's going to be a good one.
Peterson's always fun. Alexander's,
I mean, top to bottom, is it one that you're going to, you know, oh, man, you got to catch everything, you know, like, everybody tune in, drop what you're doing. No, is this one of those cars? No, I mean, I'm sure you could skip some fights, but top to bottom, I mean, again, this is another one of those ones where people probably the next day are like, man, did you see this?
Because
some crazy shit happened, you know?
I mean, I see a lot of people hating on it. I think if you really look at the card, it's not as bad as people are. Like, we've had some cards. I mean, look, we've had some cards where I'm like, this could be rough.
Yeah, I don't think this was this by no means is one of the worst cards that they put out lately. I think it's a decent card.
I do too.
I think it's a decent card.
I do too. And it's a busy weekend, by the way. There's a lot of other stuff going on. One is back on Prime Video on Friday night, so I love those Prime Video cards.
I'm gonna try to make sure I actually tune in. I keep forgetting because for some reason Fridays get me.
I wonder how I can watch it in Colombia. I mean, I can just use a VPN. I hate saying that. I could just use a VPN because I think that's illegal, but.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, you're going to be in Colombia. Like, I imagine stuff that happens there. I'm sure they turn the eye every once in a while to things that happen.
Isn't Colombia, like, just buttoned up in terms of legalities and really strict on things?
I mean, if there is a place where you have to stay in between the lines, I'm thinking Colombia is that place.
In between the lines. I see what you did there.
Oh, man. You know, it's funny. Before I forget about it again, I was trying to do online. I was trying to say who had better barbecue, Dallas or San Antonio.
Ooh.
The search that comes up online says San Antonio gets
San Antonio has better barbecue?
Most people say San Antonio. Wow. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know if that's true or not. Now, Mexican food, San Antonio, I mean, crushing it in the Mexican food. They got it. But better barbecue?
I know. That's what do a search. Do a search, and you'll get the same. But it said San Antonio barbecue or Dallas barbecue. And this one just right off the bat said San Antonio named best barbecue city in the U.S., blah, blah, blah.
That's what I love about Texas when you're there. You got good barbecue.
There's good barbecue.
You got good Mexican food.
I was going to tease and say San Antonio ain't got good barbecue. I'm like, well, I'm glad I didn't say that because supposedly to the web, and the web never lies. It's on the internet. It's got to be true.
It's 100% true. You
read
it. It's
got to be true. So now I'm kind of jealous because I love going to barbecue joints. So I'm like, I would have liked to have been there to go have some Texas barbecue. I mean, you can't go wrong with Texas barbecue. We had great barbecue in Dallas. We had great barbecue in Austin. Mm-hmm. I mean, San Antonio. I feel like we've been in San Antonio before. It's all a giant blur. Anytime we go to Texas, you always try to eat the barbecue. But,
oh, yeah. Austin, but I couldn't, San Antonio.
But that just struck me because I would have thought that Dallas had a better reputation. But according to the internet and my quick Google searches, which makes it true.
It's an AI deepfake.
That's it. These search results brought to you by the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce.
One championship did take a hit today, actually. They just announced today that Rod Tang was supposed to be in the main event, and he is out with an injury.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, so that was unfortunate because Rod Tang is super leg. That was going to be a phenomenal kickboxing matchup. Instead, Daniel Williams stepped up. So that'll be flyweight men's main event. A co-main event is women's Muay Thai world title as well. Alicia Helen Rodriguez took some time off to become a mom, and she is back after a layoff. Meanwhile, Janet Todd, the only, by the way, United States representative in terms of striking title holders in one championship, is trying to get she's already the interim title holder, so she basically already has two titles, but she's trying to make it not interim and make it undisputed. So she's an undisputed two-sport title holder. Seohei Ham is in there, Hamderlei Silva. So it should be a fun one on Prime Video on Friday night. And then you also have this weekend on Saturday morning, I believe, the start of PFL Europe. So that is kicking off this week. So it says it's actually pretty later than I thought it was. So 6 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Eastern. I wonder if it's on tape delay because it's over in England. Oh, no, I'm looking at the wrong one. Just kidding. I don't even see what time it is. It is on Saturday. I think it would be during the morning. It would be on Fubo Sports. I apologize. I don't know what time it starts at. But PFL Europe is kicking off as well. So PFL is about to be real busy, man. They got the Europe season kicking off. They got their regular season kicking off here in
3 weeks in a row.
3 weeks in a row in Las Vegas.
The 7th and the 14th.
We did a media day yesterday, which was cool to do. Bubba Jenkins was there. He was in some rare form.
Yeah, I thought his interview was really, really good.
Yeah.
I thought he did. You know, I know we did interviews with him in the past, but I just thought he was on point.
He's getting more and more comfortable. Yeah, he's getting more and more. I think he is fantastic. That was the best scrum we had. Although Sadabusi was pretty funny as well.
Sadabusi was good, but yeah, I think I agree with you. I think Jenkins stole the show.
He did, and he had some things to say about Chris Wade. He had some things to say about hopefully he'll fight Brendan Lochdane again in the finals. Sadabu did kind of crack me up a little bit because he was talking about what did he say? He was talking about kind of like doing some good with his money and all the things he was doing. And
oh yeah, and then they're like, but that means you're not going to buy a Lamborghini or like have come in here with four watches. He's like, well, I didn't say that.
It's cracked me up. He's like, oh no, I'm spending some money on myself too. So. Sadabu's a good dude, man. He was fun to talk to.
That was a good media day. Like it's
Bruno
funny
Capolata, Marcelo Nunes,
where it was just seem more flat, but all the fighters they brought had good personalities.
Yep.
And I thought it was fun, but yeah, Jenkins was really good. But I got excited for that fight after watching that. I was like, dude, I'm gonna cover PFL 1 and PFL 3, I think. PFL 1 and 3.
Yeah, because you'll miss 2 with me because you'll be in Florida with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss PFL 1 because I'll be at CFSC. I'm going to miss 2 because of USC, but I'll be at 3. So, you'll cover 3.
But I was excited. I was excited after hearing all that. I was like, dude, I'm kind of pumped.
Yeah,
I'm pumped for PFL.
I'm anxious. It is cool that they're doing Vegas. I read an interview somewhere where Pete Murray said, "Don't expect this to be a one-off. Expect us to kind of come there probably every year a little bit and do some shows in Vegas." So I like that a lot. I did speak with Pete Murray as well for Sports Illustrated and talked to him about the Dan Hardy signing. And a couple of things I found really interesting. Number one, he made it very clear that Dan Hardy's role is not going to be like some kind of figurehead type role. Like, Dan is going to be boots on the ground, helping out with everything, helping identify up-and-coming talent, you know, people that they can potentially sign, being a local brand representative and kind of representing the company over in Europe and England, of course. So it's pretty cool. He had high praise for him, and he said, look, man, you know, just Dan Hardy gives us legitimacy. You know what I mean? Like, he's so knowledgeable and such an expert in the field that he gives our brand legitimacy by being associated with him, and that's what we want to do. But then he also said, look, this is the first of six regional leagues that we're going to launch within the next 2 to 3 years. So they want to do the Middle East, they want to do South America, they want to do Asia, and have like these regional PFLs. And he said, we'll have a Dan Hardy type guy or girl in each one of those regions. So I thought that was pretty cool to see. Like, they want to have like these really super knowledgeable, like, not just, hey, we're going to take our American product and we're going to go into your backyard and you're going to like it. But no, we're going to adjust our product to be localized to your region. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool approach. So
that's certainly how you're going to build lasting relationships with the places that you're putting on events. You know, it's one thing if you go to an event in a location like, yeah, hey, we're buying your hotels, we're eating your food, but oh, by the way, the event's going to be at 3 a.m.
Right. Yeah.
We want your people to come.
Yep.
You know, like, no, I think it's great. But yeah, to even have it really, you know, fleshed out where it's with the local flavor into it. And I think we see half the cool shit, like, especially when promotions go over to like Japan and some of these other ones, when the artwork incorporates all that stuff and when you see a lot of that in the elements in the actual show production, I love it.
Yep.
It's so much cooler than, you know, the same sort of feel that you get in, you know, wherever, Utah, Boise.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have the feel of an event in Boise when they're over there in, like, Tokyo or somewhere cool overseas. It doesn't make any sense.
And I think it's a fair, like, a criticism of the UFC. Like, the UFC has done such a good job of dialing in their product, right? Like, they know, like, they've nailed it. Like, they do the best presentation
to get. They have a great template.
They have a great template. But it's the same no matter where it is, right? It looks the same. And I think probably one of the reasons it would probably resonate for you is, like, I know you're a big college football guy, right?
Yeah.
College game day, right? What a great job they do of, like, hey, we're on this place, so you're going to see. And, you know, it may seem like silly, cheesy stuff, but, you know, they come back for a commercial, and here's the local bar around the corner where people are drinking. And here's the food that they're serving over here, and you really see that place. And I agree, man. I think there's
making me miss home.
Like,
is it time for football yet? Are we football season yet?
Yeah,
are we there yet?
Just about 5 months out, baby. It's almost here.
If I close my eyes, we're almost there.
But I do think that there's something to that, right? We're to give a little bit of that local flavor, and it's kind of cool.
Oh, man. I remember when the UFC used to have a product, a little show that was on the UFC.com called Local Flavor. I wonder who used to do that.
Man, I noticed the videography skills on that were sharp.
Oh, they were incredible. Man, I wonder who was that.
That's funny. That was so you and Fiasco did a lot of those, right?
Yeah,
along
all
with
them.
Along you, you, Fiasco, and Megan Olivi?
Yep. That was ours.
You guys, that's right. I forgot about that. You guys went and did that.
Love that one.
You guys would go shoot at like restaurants.
Yeah. And then they're like, well, "How does this sell pay per views?" I'm like, "It doesn't. It's just cool because we're in the town." I used to. Oh man, me and the VP fought about that over and over. Well, but what is this doing really to turn around ticket sales? I'm like, it doesn't. It just shows the city. The city's happy we're there.
Yep.
We show a little bit of culture, and it was cool. It was something totally different. But yeah. Whatever.
That got nixed.
Fuck you, dude.
Tell us how you really feel.
I still hate you, sir.
I'm not bitter at all. Not bitter at all. So there you go. There's your MMA lineup for this weekend. So a lot of stuff to watch. You got the PFL, ONE Championship, UFC, all in action. You can see Empire MMA 4 on the MMA Underground YouTube channel on Saturday night as well. So there's something to maybe have on in the background. And then, of course, over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadShow, we will have the and a half episode. Depending on what the schedule looks like, maybe I'll see if Ben wants to jump on and give his take on some stuff. I don't know how it's all going to work out in terms of time. I don't leave until
late. Ben brings some flair onto the show.
He would bring some flair. I don't leave until like late Sunday night, so I may record. I couldn't get a flight out in the morning that was like a reasonably price, so I'm actually not getting home until Monday afternoon, but that means maybe we'll record it on Sunday or something, depending on how the schedule
plays out. Yeah, that'd be cool if you can get him on.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind. Last thing I do want to say, this whole Conor McGregor situation. Another situation where I will say, similar to the bantamweight division right now, I would say let's not get all up in arms yet. But I am really interested to see what happens with this thing. And I'm not trying to pick on Conor McGregor at all, but if they really do, and USADA has kind of come out and said that they didn't really see a reason to give him a waiver for the six-month period, and you know, I guess, you know, Conor has kind of said, hey, my understanding is I just need to do two tests and then I'm good to go.
Yep.
If they give him a waiver and the UFC gives him a waiver, like, I think that really just calls into question the integrity of the entire program.
100%.
I think they have to make him do 6 months.
I'm sure they're going to do.
That's.
They're going to say Dana has already set the groundwork where he doesn't have to take any ownership of that for the past 6 months or year. He's like, that's not my deal.
Call Jeff Nowitzki.
It's not us. That's Jeff's group. That's USADA. That's whatever. You know, we're over here just making the matches that people want to see. You know, so yeah, I'm going into 100% believing that when Conor's finally able to give two clean tests, they're going to give him a waiver, and then that's it.
And I'm not saying this to pick on Conor McGregor whatsoever. I'm not. You know what I mean?
If you can do it, why not?
Of course. I think it was wise for him to do what he did. I've said all along, hey, if you can step out of the program and take some things that are going to help and aid your healing, get you back faster, do it. Yeah. I don't blame. And you're right. I can't blame Conor if he applies for this waiver and they grant it to him. Like,
he's not doing anything wrong. He's playing the system, and if the system allows him to do it, there's nothing
wrong
with
that. So I'm not picking on him, but I'm just saying if USADA or the UFC does grant him this, I think it really calls into question the integrity of the entire program. And I hope that they're at least considered. I know some people don't like USADA anyway. I get that. But I've always felt that they try to do things the right way. Do they always nail it? No, they don't always get it right. But do they try to do it the right way? I feel like, they try to do it the right way. Every conversation I've ever had with Jeff Nowitzki, that dude is incredibly educated, incredibly informed, and has integrity and really seems to me to want to do things the right way. I mean, you look at, you know, Donna, obviously, that's involved. A woman of true character and integrity. You know what I mean? Those two people right there, I mean, I would never question anything they do in terms of, where integrity is decided. But if this is granted, I just think it throws the whole thing. It's like, well, what are we even doing anymore? Like, at that point, if you're going to do that, like, why are we even doing this?
Well, what's funny, because, I mean, if they really wanted to, they could just say it was purely USADA's decision. USADA decided to do whatever. Conor put a thing out, and they could just step away and say, we had no say in it. But obviously, we know the UFC has some say in it. This is an organization they're paying to level the playing field. I mean, if anybody thinks that USADA wasn't good for at least trying to level the playing field, you're wrong. I mean, like, it was great. Do they do everything right 100% of the time, or is it very frustrating in how they sort of carry themselves, whether they respond to certain things, requests of information? There's definitely faults, but to think that there is no good out of this situation because it causes fights to not happen, you know, you get most people that'll say, like, if two fighters agree to fight dirty, just let them fight dirty. Dirty in the sense of taking supplements, taking whatever. Yep. Be juiced to the gill if they agree to it. It's about those that don't know, that don't go into a situation knowing that their opponent, they expect somebody's going to try to hold them to a certain even playing field, and that's what it is. But, you know, I could totally see where they're just like, well, you know, USADA made this decision on their own, and we're just honoring them. You know, they've decided to do whatever. It could go either way. I'm happy with whatever sort of comes out of it, as long as our fighters are on board and understand what's going on. It's a little annoying, but it's funny when you brought up Conor. I kind of forgot about the exemption thing, even though it's been what we've been talking about. I thought you were going to talk about his coach's rant recently, where he was bashing on everybody and anybody.
Everybody.
Just Kavanaugh
is the only good
one that's
coach
doing it right
in the world.
It's finally paying dividends.
You got to think even Kavanaugh was like, bro, like they're pretty good coach.
I appreciate him supporting his boy and talking his boy up, but to take such clear shots at other guys that have clearly proven themselves to be good coaches was just another one of these things where it's like, bro, what did they do to you? Like, it's just really ridiculous, you know? But
that was a pretty wild one, too. I'm like, what is going on?
It's just crazy. But, yeah, I mean, and last thing for me on the USADA, I'm going into 100% expecting that he's going to get the exemption, and it is what it is. He has a game opponent on the other side that's like, dude, I don't care. Let's just make this fight happen. He just wants the fight to happen. Chandler doesn't care if Conor fought 2 weeks from now. Just make the fight happen. He just wants to get that money and get in there, and I get it. And he's confident that he's able to beat him on its own. But, man, when you saw those two square up the other day, Conor's big.
Dude, he's
boy.
Huge. Bro, because at the pay-per-view the other night, he walked right by me. He actually, like, gave me a fist bump, whatever. And I didn't even see him coming out of the corner of my vision. And he's like, oh, gave me a fist. And I looked up. I'm like, he's huge
he's
right now.
He's big. When they squared up, I was like, damn, Chandler, you need him to drop some weight, dog. Because Chandler's going to have to bulk up. I mean, one, he's getting up height. He's going to give up some reach.
Yep.
Chandler's tough as all get out, and he's got great power in his hands. But Conor's got great power, and if he's coming in early on, man.
And what do we know about Chandler? Chandler's exciting. Why? Because he gets hit.
Yeah.
And keeps coming, right?
Yep.
But when Conor hits you,
it could be a bad night.
It could be a bad, especially the way he's looking now. Yeah. Like he's looking
huge.
Jacked.
He's just huge, dude. It's night and day. I mean, like, he was always jacked and ripped before, but like this is like. Just
it's insane.
It's
insane.
It's like cyborg Conor, man.
So
it's
many big
nuts.
Fights coming up. I'm excited too because you know I will say this kind of first quarter has been kind of a pain in the ass for me because I kind of made the decision that I wasn't going to travel international to pay per views and then they did like three of them in a row or whatever. I'm like, okay, well I guess I'm just never doing it. But now we're like, all right, we got Miami next month. We got New Jersey the month after that. I don't think we know a spot for June yet.
Jersey.
Not doing Jersey?
No, I think Bon Bon is doing that one.
All right.
Yeah. Which is fine. Yeah. I have a love-hate relationship with Jersey anyways.
Oh, yeah. It's a little different place.
No offense to any of you if you're my Jersey people on here. Don't shoot me. Don't hate me. But, yeah, I've had some love-hate stories in Jersey. But I don't.
This is like this is like last
Jersey,
week's episode.
Like
where you're like, this is like last week's episode. You're like, oh, yeah, by the way, I got arrested one time and got fired and whatever. But I'm not going to talk about it. I mean, don't even worry about it. You're like, what? He's like, yeah, I've had some.
We got stories.
I've had some drug deals go wrong in New Jersey, so I'm out on that.
Whatever.
We don't know where June is yet, right? We don't know where June is. No, obviously July is
International Fight Week.
Look forward to that. So.
Yeah, no, I haven't even asked about June. It's so funny. You know me, I just take it week by week. I'm like, have I looked at the fight card for this week yet? I mean, I let the people that like break stories about, oh, where it's going to be, and they start, you know, oh, I better book my travel. I'm like, if I don't look, does that mean I don't have to travel? Or travail, as I thought I...
Travail, like, you thought you were so clever.
I was like, I can't be the first one to say it, but yeah, it is what it is. But yeah.
You doing Kansas City?
No, that is, Nolan King is.
Nolan King's doing Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean Kansas. I like Kansas.
Yeah, Kansas City's a good,
I mean,
good town.
I caught a couple Invicta FC fights there as well. I like Kansas.
Did you really?
Yeah, I like Kansas. Oh, yeah, I love me some Invicta. But, yeah, for a while there, Kansas was like their, everything was out of there. That'll be Nolan, so I'll be helping him remotely and stuff. But that's another place that got good barbecue.
They got good barbecue.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, you send me places that have barbecue. I'm good.
BarbecueJunkie.com.
BarbecueJunkie.com.
All right, listen, I'm going to head out. God, still a little bit of cough. It's almost gone, but when I breathe in a little too deep or I laugh a little too much, I still cough a little bit. So hopefully it's been 2 weeks, man. Maybe another week it'll be good to go. So,
did you ever go get a check? I bet you had bronchitis or you had something.
Yeah, because it's still like real deep down in my lungs, man.
Yeah, definitely had something more than just a run of the norm cold for sure.
But I powered through it, damn it, because that's what we do. All right, Empire MMA 4 this week. All the stuff on the television. Next week is when we get back to business with CFSC. Back-to-back events for CFSC, so we'll certainly be talking about that next week. I'm excited for that. I'm gonna go to soccer practice and then head to the airport and.
You going to run some laps on the side?
No.
Are you like one of those dads that runs along with the kids?
No, that's weird. I do.
Like, sit down, Fred. Fred, you're looking like a jackass.
You're looking like a jackass right now, Fred.
No.
But I do enjoy going to practice, and I did jiu-jitsu the last night, soccer tonight, and always enjoy spending time with the little man. So, anyway.
Yay.
Patreon.com/MMAroadshow. Appreciate everybody that supports us over there. We will do the NF episode. Like I said, maybe Sunday, Saturday, late Saturday night, depending on how things go, because I got to get done on the mic first and then watch the fights. And then maybe I'll see what Ben Davis is up to and see if I can talk him into putting on a headset.
Hell yeah.
In the meantime, everybody else, thanks for listening.